what an event this was. I don't know if any of you recognize, but let's go back to Lake Placid, New York, to the 1980 Winter Olympics, when the United States was in the semi-round headed towards gold, when their opponent was no other than the Russian professional hockey team. And this was a group of unprofessional American amateur hockey players, of which in that group only three of them had any experience above amateur, but none at the pro level. And in the last six Olympics, five times the Russians won, because they were not only professional, but they had international experience. And so everyone knew that the United States had no chance to win whatsoever. But they did. And the win was so dramatic and incredible that the Sports Illustrated called it the athletic event of the 20th century, for the United States won 4-3. And you can see by the celebration that it was exhilarating, not only for the players, but all the United States, to beat the dynamic Russian team in spite of the obstacles they faced. Well, that was a great victory. But when we look in our Bibles, we find stories of men and women who faced far greater obstacles. And with the help of God, they defeated the enemy. And so today we're going to talk about one of those stories, which you're well aware of. And the title of the sermon is Faith Over Fear. I'd like to invite you to bow your heads with me as I pray. Oh, Father in heaven, what a privilege it is to be together, even though it's online. And how I pray that our members are watching, that our members heard about the online streaming, and that they're tuned in so we can be together and we can encourage one another. And now, Lord, this is your message that you gave to me. It isn't mine. And so I ask you to preach it. Let me pale in the sight of all, and let us instead see and hear Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 14. And I want the boys and girls out there at home to open your Bibles. I want you to turn to this beautiful story, which you're all well aware of, but hopefully we'll give it some twists and heighten our understanding how great our God is. Okay, do you got 1 Samuel chapter 17? We're going to start at verse 1. Here's what it says in the New King James. Now the Philistines gathered their army together to battle and were gathered at Succoth, which belonged to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah and Esthdammim. And Saul and his men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines and stood on a mountain on one side, and the Israelites stood on the mountain on the other side of the valley. And so we see here this incredible story that took place called Goliath versus David. And so let's take a look at the enemy. Here, we're going to continue in verse 4, where it says this. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of arm that weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armors on his leg and a bronze javelin between his shoulder. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And a shield bearer went before him. Then he stood and he cried out to the armies of Israel, and he said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And you, the servants of Saul, choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then I will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servant and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." And when Saul and Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want you to look at the enemy that God's people were facing. They were bold. They were arrogant. They were defiant. They were fully equipped. They were in control of the situation. Goliath, they think, was 9'11" tall. And the bronze armor around his chest weighed 125 pounds. You know, I wanted so bad. Pastor, I forgot. Do you have a 125-pound weight at home? I wondered who did. I wanted to bring it here. Can you imagine on your around your chest you're carrying 125 pounds? I wanted to show you I probably couldn't lift that. And then on his javelin or spear, the pointy end weighed 15 pounds. And he came out and terrorized the whole army of Saul. And so you can see the enemy they're facing was outstanding. Now I want to show you this. Here's a picture of the tallest man in the world. He is, how tall do you think he is, by the way? How tall? 8 feet? 10 feet? 9 feet? 9's pretty close. He's 8'11" tall. And I think you remember that I said Goliath was 9'11" tall. He had a whole foot over the tallest man that ever lived. And so we see that the odds are insurmountable. The whole Israelite army was scared out of their sandals. In fact, I read for you already verse 16. Look at verse 24. Same story. We're going to go to verse 24. Here's what my Bible says. I have to turn my page here. And the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. Folks, they're... You know, the battle lines were drawn. And when Goliath came out, it says that they fled from him. And he was in a valley, and there were two hillsides, and the armies were in front. So he wasn't that close to the Israelite army. Just his appearance scared, my son would say, my son Roland, the bejeebies out of them. So we're going to see what God can do with insurmountable odds. And take a look at the people of God. The people of God. Oops, I'm going the wrong way. The people of God, folks, were scared. They were overwhelmed. They were defeated. They were confused. They were worried. And they were sure they were destined for disaster. And all that renders them what? Hopeless. You know, Pastor mentioned, and I think Ron did too in his prayer. You know, I don't want anybody to have the coronavirus. But that didn't bother me as much as to think that many of our people were just laid off of work. And you know, when they were laid off, they said, until further notice. How long is it going to take to run its course? I don't even think the health professionals really know how long it's going to take. And I can't imagine what it would be like, except I have to. Let me tell you why. With the churches closed here in Nevada, and with many of our people laid off, how are we going to financially stay afloat? You know, my paycheck comes from the tithe. And I want you to know that when I joined this church and I read the history, I realized that all the pastors started without pay. And it dawned on me that according to my Bible, the pastors are probably going to end up without pay at the end. And then you'll know if I'm really committed to God or not. And so they were scared. They were overwhelmed. They were defeated. They were confused. They were worried. They were destined for disaster. Just at the words of Goliath, they ran. The battle hadn't even started. That means they were hopeless. And so if any of you out there are feeling hopeless, I want you to know that God has a solution. God has His promises that we're going to end with today as we look at this incredible story that all of you are well familiar with. Well, there's a hero. Amen? Yeah, there's a hero. Let's take a look. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 17 and let's take a look at verse 32. And here's what it says in my Bible. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with the Philistines." Wait a minute. Time out. The youngest son of Jesse. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The one who takes care of sheep. He goes to Saul and says, "I'll fight him." Well, how many years experience and education do you have in the school of war? Well, I once beat a bear. And another time, I killed a lion. You know, that's amazing to me, this little guy, to save a lamb. I got news for you. If I was out there in the dark, well, maybe it was even daylight. I don't know. And a lion came up to eat one of the sheep. Just take one, okay, and go away. Go away. And Saul and whoever was within earshot, I'm sure Saul's advisors were all there saying, "What are you, crazy?" And then he goes on. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to fight against the Philistines, for you are a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion or a bear came to take the lamb out of the flock, I went out after him and struck it and delivered the lamb out of the mouth when it arose against him. I caught it by the head and I struck it and I killed it. Your servant has killed both a lion and a bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of" who? "The living God." And moreover, David said, "The Lord will deliver me from the paw who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. He will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And folks, I want you to ask yourself what I ask myself. Why in the world did Saul let him do it? And I thought, first of all, no one else would. And why did David do it? David volunteered to do it because he loved the Lord. He did it because he trusted God. He did it because he had faith. And he had spiritual discernment, folks. This is a key. You know, when in the book of Revelation it says, "Buy from me gold tried in the fire that thou may be rich, and white raiment that your nakedness can be clothed." And so we've got Christ's righteousness, his beautiful robe. And then eyesalve, spiritual discernment, being able to see beyond the circumstances, not allowing the enemy that constantly puts walls up in front of us to overcome us with fear. So it boils down to the hero had the Holy Spirit. "I'll do it," he said. "I'll do it in spite of the odds." I mean, Goliath was not only 9'11", but he's from David's age onward, he was trained in war. Wow, what a person. And so David knew, that young man knew what Zerubbabel heard from the angel that he wrote to us in the book of Zechariah. "And then the angel who talked with me answered and said to me, 'This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel.'" Zerubbabel was the governor of the Israelites, the small group of Israelites who came back boldly from exile in Babylon to a mess in Jerusalem. The walls were broken down. The sanctuary was leveled. All the houses were burnt, and all it was a pile of rubble. And they came there to rebuild the city because it's the city of God. At that time, it was the city of God. And so, what kind of angel, heavenly being, what advice you have to Zerubbabel? Because the enemies all around are threatening them. In fact, Zerubbabel and Nehemiah had to tell them, "Hold your weapon in one hand and hold your hammer in the other and keep working." The angel said, by the way, if it's an angel, where did this advice come from?
heaven.
This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Isn't that incredible? It's the Holy Spirit, folks. All of you who are facing uncertainty in light of this coronavirus, I even look up in the air to see if any planes are landing here. And I see fewer and fewer and fewer. And then I get word that one of the casinos, I'll just put it that way, one individual casino laid off 95% of their workers, including one of our church members. Now, I don't know how many others work there, but I know one of them in particular does. He's at home right now. I can even guess where he is, but he's online. If I was him, I'd be wondering, how long can I last without a paycheck? And so when Zerubbabel was in a problem, God sent an angel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. And folks, that city got rebuilt in spite of all the opposition. David had the Holy Spirit. Now take a look at this picture. This is one of my favorites, this image is. That's literally reality, folks. Remember spiritual discernment. You couldn't see that gold giant man with wings that has a huge sword. But David knew he was there. And 2 Peter 1:4 says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Exceedingly great and precious promises. Now, how do you put the Bible promises into effect? How do you do it? Prayer. First of all, you got to know that those promises are here. Just like, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Lord, I claim that promise in Zechariah 4:6 that you would give me the gift of the Holy Spirit, so I can deal with the powers that apparently are more advantaged than me. We must know the promises that are found here. And then we must pray those promises so that it can, as it was a seed that's planted in the ground, water hits it, it bursts open, and up comes a plant. We've got to allow the Lord to come into contact with us. In fact, when we claim His promises, it says we become partakers of what? Divine nature. That means like God. That means we'll have the ability to forgive people who offend us. Even if the offending party was wrong and guilty, we'll be able to keep our tempers under control. We will even be brave enough to be more generous with God's work, whether it's time or whether it's talents or whether it's money. Because you see, over us is this gigantic angel that's bigger than Goliath, that is mighty, more mighty in power. So whatever we're facing, God has a solution for us. And how did David get that Holy Spirit? When he was young, he was out in the country. He was there with the animals. He saw how the sheep needed his care. You go ahead and read Psalms 23. It says he leads me to green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Big deal. What does that mean? That some places the grass had noxious weeds that were poison to the sheep. And the shepherd had to guide them to a good spot, plot of land. Not only that, but sheep won't drink from moving water. And so he has to bring them to a spot where there's calm water, or the sheep will actually die of thirst standing next to a river, a creek that's moving. And then he made hymns and songs. He sang to the Lord. He communed with the Lord. And through the sheep, he saw the love of God for him. That's how he got the Holy Spirit. That's how we're going to get the Holy Spirit. And that's what we need right now more than ever. How did he receive that? Well, take a look at this. Now, I'm going to read 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14 that Pastor already read to us in the scripture reading. Now, this morning, I was polishing up the sermon at my desk early in the morning, and I received a text from one of our church members. The text came from Lucilla Cooper. And out of the clear blue sky, this text. And she said, Pastor, I want to share with you a scripture that I've used to help comfort people who are in trouble. And folks, you know I'm a prayer person. I preach on this text. I quote it all the time. But there's something in it I never ever saw before. Look what it says. Good from the Good News Translation. Whenever I hold back the rain. God is speaking. When I hold back the rain. Or send locusts to eat up the crops. Or send an epidemic on my people. Whenever that happens, and by the way, you know, first of all, I got to defend my Lord and Savior Jesus. He really doesn't send those things. But when we go wrong, he allows Satan to let these things happen. And what's the only solution to the problem? And remember, the rain is absolutely necessary so that they have crops to eat, because there were no supermarkets. Not to mention the locusts. When they showed up, the crops were gone. And not to mention an epidemic. That would be a pandemic. A pestilence. Well, what's the only solution? If my people pray to me and repent and turn away from their evil that they have been doing, then I will hear them in heaven, forgive their sins, and make their lands prosper again. And Lucilla, thank you. The Lord moved on your heart to send that to me. That was not part of the sermon. It fits perfectly. We've got to be encouraged, folks. In response to these horrible things happening around us, or even to us, the answer is pray, repent, and turn away from evil. By the way, that's another reason we're having a prayer session here on Wednesday, and we hope that you all join us. And so how do you receive the Holy Spirit, folks? I want you to, as I close here, I want you to see what David said when he was almost done for as the king of Israel. He wrote this. I want you to see this promise in the next one that follows. Here's a promise you can claim. David said, I have been young and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. How appropriate for the time we're living. And then there's this one. By the way, I wanted you to see that scene. Do you remember what he said? I'm going to kill you. And I didn't read the text, by the way. You all know what happened. But I didn't read about it. David said to him, I'm going to beat you and I'm going to cut your head off. Do you remember the story? He said, I'm going to cut your head off. And so he's cutting off his head. So my friends, be encouraged. No temptation. Pyrosmos in the Greek, which is a putting to proof, a test, by experiments of good, experience of evil. It means an adversary. No adversary has overtaken you. Whether it be a pandemic, whether it be laid off, whether it be that you get the coronavirus, I want you to know that no adversity has overtaken you such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will allow you to be tempted, not allow you to be tempted above what you can take, but with the temptation also make a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. Now there's a promise. Both of those promises. I kneel down. I open my Bible. I read them to God. You promised this. You're the eternal God of heaven that called into existence everything from nothing. This is a simple thing for you to do in my behalf, Lord. Exodus 15:26. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep His statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that heals you. And so I want you to know that the famed World War II tank commander George Patton said this: courage is fear holding on a minute longer. And I read that. George Patton said, courage is fear holding on a little longer, a minute longer, he said, a minute longer. And I thought, you know what? Faith is fear holding on a minute longer. If you give in to your fears, you are on the path to defeat. If instead you stand strong in spite of your fears, you are on the path to victory. And we must never forget that we are not in the battle alone. With the power of God on our side, we cannot be defeated. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father in heaven, what a great God you are. And when we read these stories in the Bible, particularly this one, and see the courage of David, we realize that it really was a vision of the power of the Holy Spirit present in a mind of a little young person, not a big, gigantic, monstrous, well-trained soldier that has never been defeated. And we see that nothing is too hard for you to do. Please take all our fears from us and replace it with faith. And only that will happen when we spend time and read our Bibles and see these incredible stories of deliverance in spite of all odds against us. Bless each one. Lord, bless those that are home, and may you help us stay connected. And so on Wednesday, we'll be back here for prayer. Remind us all so we can be together again during the midweek, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you.
Join us as we sing our closing hymn, My Jesus, I Love Thee.
For thee. Shall we pray? Father, you inspired David to write here in Psalms 37, I was once young, and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed, the children, begging bread. Oh, Father, in the name of Jesus, we claim this promise for each and every one today, that you will not only feed us physically, but also spiritually every day that we draw a breath. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.